You got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. The lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll-free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Jolie just said the greatest thing. We were talking about, I forget how we even got onto this subject, but we were talking about something during the break, and Jolie says, you watch too much news. Why was that? What did I even say that prompted that comment? I can't remember now.
Because you know all the people from CNN.
No, but
no, we were talking about MTV, though. You were talking about Leanne Rimes' crib.
And I was talking about, well, because Sarah said, I can't believe you watch MTV. And I said, well, you know, you can only watch MTV for so long because it recycles. You know, it's like listening to any music station. And after about 40 minutes, you've heard everything you're going to hear. And as MTV, it's just TRL and Cribs and Driven and Ultrasound over and over and over and over again. And plus, like, last year's Video Music Awards, just back to back to back.
I'm more of a VH1 person.
But then that prompted this comment, which just came out of nowhere. She goes, well, you watch way too much news, which is sort of like when my older relatives will go, you do too much of that reading. What? My dad used to accuse me of thinking too much. I don't know why. But whenever my dad and I would be having some argument, which I would be handily defeating him at, my dad would go, why do you do so much thinking? Like, well, I'm sorry, I'll try to dumb myself down. And yet, I watch too much news, yet Jolie knew that Leanne Rimes was on Cribs tonight.
Well, I don't do just, you know, sit at the front desk. I get papers, and I have to update
and
things.
Study Leanne Rimes. Yeah. Leanne Rimes, you want to talk about someone who's gone from zero to ho in just like a year. She never used to be a hoe, but now full-on hoe.
She has a lot to compete with, but she's not really a hoe.
Well, the bar... Oh, that's not true. Have you seen the layout of her in Blender? Blender, which is Maxim's music magazine?
No.
Man,
it's...
Are you talking about Leanne Rimes?
Leanne Rimes.
Her new video.
How bloody she looked.
Have you seen her video?
No.
She is so scantily clad. I mean, this covers nothing, her dress does.
I spotted that years ago, by the way. I knew. You know, it's like you just know. You can spot what people are going to be like in the future. Like when you see those kids on the bus with the grubby, stupid parents, and you're like, you're going to be in prison by the time you're 20. Same thing with Leanne Rimes. I'm like, you're going to be in a halter top and tattooed by the time you're 25. And it came true. So I'll try not to do so much thinking. I'll try not to...
Don't be a thinker.
I'll go read me some Harlequin and eat some cheese doodles. Do you ever wonder who really reads Harlequin novels? Does anybody really read those?
Oh, I have a couple friends that are obsessed with them. The Blaze series. Those are just
muddy. I don't know.
Muddy.
I just use Harlequin as a general catch-all.
Yeah.
But you know, when you go to the used bookstore, there's that one wing of any used bookstore that's just fuchsia. It's like bright pink. It's like walking. You know what I'm talking about? You walk through a bookstore, not like Powell's, but like one of those sort of independent, like a real private bookstore. You know what I mean? Like a real used bookstore that's just kind of ratty, that's in a smaller building. There's one on by the Aladdin on Milwaukee that's great. Anyway, you walk through there, and there's, like, history, true crime, biography. And then you'll walk by this one, and it's always next to true crime, because chicks love true crime as well. And there's this, like, this bright fuchsia wall of books, and they're all those, like, you know, Unchained Passion. It's like the Barbie aisle at Toys R Us. It just, like, puts off this unearthly pink glow from, like, feet away.
I think old ladies read them.
Old ladies read true crime. Anything that has bodies being chopped up and put through a wood chipper, old ladies will read that. So, all right, anyway. So I'll try not to be so thinky. Let's get Dave. He's a full-time listener and a first-time caller on I-205. What's St. Augustine? You talk about that while I get this hair out of my nose.
St. Augustine, really cool place, man. Not only do you have the advantages of the little southern girls with the tans that live there, you get the advantages of all the tourists that come flying through there. But it is a really cool place. The water's blue. You know, the days and the evenings in the summer were great. I did nothing but make money and have fun and party when I was there.
See, that's why we should do the... Well, you know, we haven't done what other shows do. Is we got to do the thing where we just get a bunch of listeners and go do the show from Vegas or something.
Well, I work for St. Augustine Steamship Company down there, and they built a 100-foot... It's a party barge that was 100-foot long, 48-foot wide, and...
Yeah.
I'm sure they'd hook you up.
Yeah, baby. All right. Excellent. There you go. So, we'll keep in touch with that. There's Dave on the I-205. Keep in touch. We want to do that one of these. A party barge.
Broadcast from the barge.
Doesn't a barge sound like some sort of a slang term for some overweight person? What's that? She's a real barge. I'm just saying, maybe it is, maybe it's not. It just sounds like it. We had to do one of those things where you get a big plane and like 10 listeners go to Vegas, not sleep for like a week, do the show from there.
That would be cool.
That would be great. I'm all about
that.
What
do you do on the Portland Spirit?
What? What's the Portland Spirit? Oh, is that that thing that girls badger their husbands into buying them dinner on?
Doesn't that not even go anywhere? Doesn't it just stay docked?
Doesn't it just sit there?
That's the Queen Mary in Long Beach.
Oh, okay.
Well, they have that in Utah. Ask Clyde about his first, second, third, second wedding. Clyde's second wedding was on some paddle boat. Except it's a paddle boat anchored in the middle of a pond in the middle of like a strip mall. And that's what
that sounds romantic.
Oh, it's as classy as it sounds. That's like in the middle of, it's like in this place called Kearns, I think, which is in Utah. Driving through Kearns, Applebee's, Chili's, yogurt shop, Hot Tips Nails, Applebee's, Chili's, you know, TGI Fridays. Pond with a boat in it. And it's like, that's where Clyde's second wedding was.
Is that like in Albany, Oregon, where they have that big floating duck in the middle of the pond?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Oh, you haven't? Oh, it's beautiful. You should go check it out.
It's embarrassing. All right. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-737-5955. We have more on the way, including the top five musical artists who have never won a Grammy, Jolie from the front desk with How Chicks Think, Betsy, and all of that. This is Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's 8 minutes after one. This news is brought to you by America One Financial, where they offer no upfront fees and a free appraisal with your mortgage. Call 503-699-5272. 503-699-5272. America One, your neighborhood lender. Oh, my. Criminals will rule since 100 pink slips have been given out to the OSP. That's more than one-third of the agency's employees. They have no other choice because of the state budget problems. The notices were sent to 129 of the state's 426 troopers and 148 non-sworn employees. The employees range from secretaries to forensic scientists. Their last day, January 31st. Most of the layoffs will be repealed if we vote to give them a tax increase January 28th. So if you don't want criminals to rule, make sure you vote for it. The state police will need to make $6.3 million in cuts to keep the state budget balanced. Meanwhile, our own Chief Croker's off to Washington, D.C. for the Global Terrorism Conference, meeting the Irish and the Brits. Then it's off to Tel Aviv for some real daily terrorism. The chief says this ain't no pleasure trip. It's about learning and sharing.
Key to economic recovery is having better schools, better infrastructure, and better social services.
I can't tell if that's the wrong soundbite or not.
It's close enough.
Okay.
Oh, I thought it isn't. Man.
That's okay. No one can tell.
Yeah, now that we've talked about it.
We'll take it out in post.
Yeah, anyway. Police in the Coup have arrested a convenience store owner in Vancouver and accused him of selling medicine used to make methamphetamines. Undercover detectives say they purchased nearly 3,500 pills yesterday, and then they arrested the Minute Mart quit shop owner, Chang On Quang. The cold pills are an ingredient in the legal drug.
No, it's what you used to make meth. It's like, here's another, you want to freak out somebody at a Safeway? Not that you should do this.
Yeah.
Go in and try to buy like 75 boxes of wooden matches all at once. Because the thing is, they take the sulfur, so I hear. Sulfur from the tips of matches, which you combine with Sudafed or pseudoephedrine. And then you mix it together, and that's how you make meth. So in Utah, and I know this because when I lived in Salt Lake, see, remember, because it used to be, and it's probably all illegal now, but they used to sell, you know, you go to truck stops, and there's that, you know, like, whatever they call it, you know, asthma medicine, you know, to breathe easy or whatever, and it's all just, it's speed. It's just all this fairly high-grade pharmaceutical speed that they sell you. But in Utah, they passed this law because people will go in and they buy, like, a case of this stuff. They buy a case of this pseudoephedrine or ephedrine hydrochloride or whatever, and then they buy a bunch of matchsticks, and then they go and they grind it all up, and then they make meth, and they sell it to school children or, you know, whatever they do. And so they passed this law in Salt Lake. Their solution was not to, like, actually just crack down on meth labs proper. Their solution was to make it illegal to possess more than so many matches at a time. So there was this law, which still exists in Salt Lake, by the way, that if you get pulled over for some offense and you have, I think it's more than four boxes of wooden matches in your car, that's a crime and you can be arrested on suspicion of drug paraphernalia and drug manufacture. So, you know, so there you go.
Well, I was talking about Liv Tyler. And if she knew that her first film would be so successful with Lord of the Rings.
I think in some ways we all felt like in
is that her?
Destiny kind of way, like it was definitely going to...
I know, I'm 100% right on the phone.
Yeah, she's made
a beautiful job, and everybody that was working on the film so that some people were going to respond to it, and then when it did so
we're
well,
all in love with Liv Tyler.
Overwhelming.
All of us, men, women.
The numbers are...
Yeah, totally can't hold back.
Oh, come on. How can you not find her adorable?
Grasp, I guess.
You don't find Liv Tyler adorable?
She's okay. I mean, adorable?
She's just...
I don't find girls my own age. Well, not my own age. She's a little older. Adorable.
I mean, she's beautiful. She's just so... And she's not just beautiful. She's got... I mean, I don't think she sounds so gay, but I mean, she's got that... It's not just that she's beautiful. I mean, we've talked about this before, that there's pretty, hot, beautiful, attractive, you know, adorable. There's all different kinds of attractiveness. You know, there are women who are hot but not pretty. There are women who are cute but not beautiful. There's all different kinds. And she is just, I mean, not only is she very attractive, but she's just adorable too. Liv Tyler, you just want to wrap her up in a blanket and take her home and give her some soup and whatever. And then, you know, and then also do her. But soup. You just want to take her home and she just radiates sweetness and goodness. And I'm not saying that she really like that. I don't know. But I'm saying when you see her interviewed, the vibe she puts off, she just puts off just this sweet, adorable little vibe that I... How can you not see that? You're high. I don't know what you're talking about there. We all... You know that I'm saying the truth.
Liv, tell us on how The Two Towers begins and if it leaves people who haven't seen the first film out in the cold.
I think it's great. I mean, that's how you read the stories.
Liz has got just a tiny little bit of a lisp there. That's cute.
Movies and
it's charming.
And
it's
I think she looks a lot like a girl that I don't like, and I think that's why.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, did you ever do that? You meet somebody, reminds you of somebody else, you dick, you know?
Oh, completely.
DVD or something. Personally, if I was going to go see it, I would go to Blockbuster and rent it or buy it and watch it, and because I'd want to know what was going to happen, you know?
Who goes to see The Two Towers having not seen...
Tourist things at Blockbuster.
That's a dumb... fools.
Yeah.
Wait, is Blockbuster sponsoring anything this
No,
hour?
They don't sponsor anything anywhere.
Okay, idiots. That's
no, I think... No, they sponsored something a couple days ago.
I mean, the Blockbuster, they are your entertainment choice for idiots. No, they don't advertise on the show right now, do they?
No, they don't. No.
No, see, no. Tim knows. No, it's for fools.
Not even a news sponsor.
Here's why you should never go to Blockbuster. A, small selection. B... stupid, possibly because they're undertrained help, probably because they're underpaid and therefore they don't give a rat's ass, because why would you? But also this, Blockbuster refuses to stock anything that's NC-17, which doesn't mean like just even, it's not like porn, but it's like movies like Requiem for a Dream, which was NC-17. They either will not stock it or Blockbuster will edit it themselves to make it an R rating. Like Peter Jackson, who did Lord of the Rings, Peter Jackson did this movie called Dead Alive a few years ago, which is a horror movie. It's a great movie.
I've seen that.
Dead Alive is a great movie.
But
don't get it at Blockbuster, because if you get it at Blockbuster... It was an unrated film because it was very violent. Blockbuster edits it themselves to their own idea of what an R rating is. So if you've ever seen Dead Alive or Requiem for a Dream, which is a brilliant film, at Blockbuster, you haven't seen the theatrical version. You've seen what Blockbuster thinks an R-rated version looks
now,
like.
Now, Dead Alive's the one with the mother and the basement and the lawnmower.
Yeah. So don't go to Blockbuster, because Blockbuster won't stock anything that's NC-17 or that's unrated. And sometimes, you know, because it costs money to get your movie rated, to submit your movie to the MPAA to get a rating costs a lot of money. So sometimes independent filmmakers, even if a film is completely without violence, no nudity, whatever, they just don't have the money to submit it to get rated, and so it comes out unrated because they couldn't afford it. Blockbuster won't carry those. They won't carry an unrated film. So you should, screw them.
All right. We all will then. It's going to be mostly sunny this afternoon. Highs in the 50s. Clear tonight. Lows in the 30s. Tim Riley, the KOTK Newsroom, live around the world at KOTK.com.
All right. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. We got the more coming up, including... Oh, wait, but I got to say this. This hour of the Rick Emerson Show. See? Uh-huh. Yeah. This hour of the Rick Emerson Show is brought to you by Michael Hacker Photography, professional full-service photography specializing in weddings. Give Michael Hacker Photography a call at 503-816-4944, 503-816-4944. So, there you go. All right. What am I doing here? Let's get, we're going to get David in a second. The Rose Quarter, it's Tom, a full-time listener. What's up?
Hey, what's up? I know that guy up in Vancouver who got arrested.
Hong Buck Wong.
His name is Chang O Wang.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. His name is Chang O Wang, and he sells all those little herbal supplements and stuff like that. All that kind of junk. And he's a real nice guy. I don't know. He's a real quiet guy. I don't think that he has anything to do with anything like that.
And it's not his business what people come into. I'm not defending making or selling meth. It's whatever. But it's not his business what somebody comes in the store wants to buy five. Because here's the thing about this. This is why this is crap. I'm not saying you should go out and start manufacturing meth or take meth. It has nothing to do with that. But when you go into a store, you've seen these little bottles where it says pickup or zip or whatever, and it's like these pseudoephedrine, you know, and it's just like it's real bad, low-grade speed. But it's legal. It's a legal product. It is perfectly legal to buy it in the little bottles behind the cash register. And so it's a legal product. And so if it's legal to buy one bottle of it, it should be legal to buy 50 bottles of it.
Yep. Absolutely. Oh, one more comment as well on Liv Tyler.
Yeah.
The one thing that bugs me about her, she's got like Freddie Mercury's mouth and chin.
Oh, that's true.
If you look at her, it's really disturbing. It's like the top half of her face is really good, but then you start looking down there, it's like that real sloppy British kind of mouth.
No, that's true. I can totally see that.
Yeah, that's there you go, brother.
I'm never going to look at her the same way again. Yeah, because Freddie Mercury, what was it with Freddie Mercury deciding at some point he needed to look like one of the Village People? What was that about? Freddie Mercury, from a rock star point of view, looked so much better. He had the long hair, looked all cool. And then at some point he just woke up and he's like, I need to look like the construction worker for the Village People. Shave the hair, mustache. And here's a weird thing to think about. Here's a weird socio-anthropological thing. Think about this, that when Freddie Mercury had long hair, painted fingernails, and wore like flowy little dressy things, everybody said, he's a straight heterosexual rock star. When he had short hair, a mustache, and no more fingernail polish, people, he's gay. What is that about? I'm not disputing that we all came to the conclusion, but how weird is that? He's wearing long hair and fingernail polish. He must be straight. And then, short hair and a mustache. Must be gay. Isn't that bizarre? Isn't that, like, contrary to how things logically would work?
It's just mind-boggling.
No, it's just strange. I don't know what that's all about.
Well, maybe they could see how uncomfortable he looked dressed like, more like a man.
I don't think so, because it's not just him, because it's like, okay, let me give an example. You go to the store, some dude, long hair, you know, black jeans, black shirt, long hair, and you go, you know, it's just some dude, some rock guy. Go to the store, some guy, well-dressed, short hair, you know what I mean, and really neatly cut, you know what I'm talking about? Like, right, he's like he just got the haircut. Then what do you think? Especially if he's a good-looking guy, you go, okay. You immediately think that guy's gay. What is that all about? Isn't that some... Because that's my dad. When I was growing up, my dad, cut your hair. People are going to think you're queer. You know, that was my whole... Like, long hair to my dad equaled gay. But now it's the weirdest thing. Long hair, straight, short hair, gay. Or at least... Or it seemed... I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm full of crap. I don't know what I'm... Why
no,
am I
no,
talking?
Rick, I had
What am I even talking about here? Why am I continuing to talk?
Couple of cousins and my friend, they're dressed real nice, you know, suits, yeah. Everything, and they're very good looking. And my friend said, "Oh, I thought those." I said, "Those are my cousins." And she said, "Oh, I thought they were too gay."
Seriously, and that's here's another reason. This is another insecurity that all straight men have too. This is another reason why it can be difficult for we straight men, because it's like the whole thing of, well, I knew that guy was gay. How could you tell? Well, he was really good looking. He was dressed well. And so, ergo, I'm a repulsive warthog. That's the whole... I mean, seriously, it makes all the straight guys, we're all like, well, okay, well, all right then, because the implication then is that I couldn't dress myself, like, I wouldn't know clothing if you gave me the C-L-O-T-H and let me buy a vowel, you know, that I wouldn't be able to spot any of it. So, I don't know. I guess that I have nothing. Nothing is what I have. What are we doing here? This is David. He's a full-time listener in Salem on his cell phone. What's up?
Hey, sir, I know the big duck, man. Too cool.
And oh, the one in Albany?
Oh, yeah. The big duck.
It's huge.
It a pond or
yeah.
Something?
Yeah. It's like a pedal boat you can ride in it or something.
That sounds classy.
Yeah, real great. Well, we call it El Baño.
Excellent.
Hey, you guys missed something on the Chief Croker deal, man.
Yeah.
Why are they sending him to Tel Aviv to learn how to fight terrorism? That's like there's no terrorism in Tel Aviv? What the heck? I mean...
Seriously?
It's like sending him to Bremerton to learn how to combat fat single mothers or something. I mean,
Tel Aviv, where any pizza place, you know, 3 days since last bombing.
Yeah, but they got that terrorism deal licked over there. They can teach us a few lessons.
Yeah, the Middle East is just peace and tranquility everywhere.
Yeah,
you look, isn't it?
Bunch
yeah.
of boneheads, man.
Dude,
thanks, Rick.
You're the king. That's David. This is my place, and these are my people. All right, we do this. We got more on the way. Our good friend, Chris, the mailman, and a few. Later on, about 15 minutes from now, top five musical artists who've never won a Grammy to highlight the stupidity and inanity of the Grammy Awards. Because you know what the Grammy guys are? The Grammy guys are all that old guy who doesn't know how to pronounce P-O-D. Who's this? Def Leppard. Pod. They're all that. Notorious Big. They're all that guy. All the guys in the Grammys are that guy. We'll highlight their ignorance later on with the top five musical artists who have never won a Grammy. Also, Jolie from the front desk. Betsy later on. They'll go anywhere. It's a Rick Emerson show on Hot Talk, then Eddie KFTK. Here's a band that lost to DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. Public Enemy lost the first rap Grammy ever to Will Smith. There's the Grammys for you, baby. We'll be back.
Rick Emerson, live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Yeah, freaking in 1989. And I think it was for Fear of a Black... So in 1989, the first ever rap Grammy. Public Enemy nominated for Fear of a Black Planet, which is only, like, considered to be the greatest hip-hop album of all time. Widely acknowledged to be the greatest hip-hop album up at least until that point in history. No, they lose to Parents Just Don't Understand or whatever. Jesus, God.
That's very good music. Here's
Sarah. It's
I'm
just
joking, guys.
No.
I know, you look really distraught.
I am distraught. I'll let you do the track.
All right, well,
from the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
It's 1:27, Tim Riley with news, brought to you by Everybody's Garden Center. Well, some of these reality TV shows are getting the dander of some people up. There's talk of a new Real Beverly Hillbilly show. They're going to take real hillbillies, that's right, people from the South, and put them in Beverly Hills and see if they survive. Well, proud Southerner James Carville is aggravated with CBS's plan to do this.
And I want to take these producers, and I want to take these writers, and I want to stick their arses in a coal mine and let them make a living there for a year. Let them live off of $6.30 an hour with no health care. And let's see how they adjust to it. CBS executive.
I am.
Let Les Moonbeam or whatever the hell his name is.
And that's completely true, by the way. And I know we talked about this with the first time the story hit, but it just irritates me. You know, look at them, they're poor. Isn't that hilarious? Look, they've never seen a lot of things that take money to possess. Isn't that funny? Look, they're poverty stricken.
That's true. There is a difference between women grubbing for money.
Seriously.
And
let's all be amused at the people who are awed by the fact that, you know, they suddenly have money. Isn't it hilarious that they used to be poor? Poor people are funny.
And then we have attorney Gloria Allred, who thinks it's a shame women are being exploited on the Joe the Millionaire show.
I don't even like the idea of their being labeled as gold diggers. Does anybody label a man as a sex digger when he wants to go
sex
out with
digger.
Someone because he
that
wants
sounds
to
like
go
a name for
him.
Somebody's
I've never
sounds
heard
like a nickname
term.
For your
yet
penis.
When a woman thinks that, you know, the financial condition of the man that she contemplates
is just wrong.
Could be a factor.
I know what Gloria Allred needs.
You know,
and seriously,
she needs a sex digger.
No, seriously, and I never try to say that. Because that's just the thing that you guys always say that about any woman they don't like. I know what she needs a little honey in the hives, you know, or whatever. I totally, that guy's always said it, but it's totally true with Gloria Allred. You totally know that that's the case with her. She just needs to it's not even just sex. She just needs to, like, have a beer, go bowling, loosen up. She just needs to lighten up a little bit.
Talk about people who need to lighten up. UN investigators have found credible evidence that Congolese rebel troops are cannibals. During the past week, the UN human rights investigators have problem reports of cannibalism in the Congo. They say, some of the soldiers are killing and eating the pygmies who live in the dense tropical forest. The investigations will continue once we get some investigators out of Iraq.
Like is a pygmy like a between full meal snack, too? Is that just like when you're peckish, but you're not quite ravenous?
You know, I'm not sure. I'll have to dig deeper into this.
Yeah.
It's going to be a nice day anyway today for cannibalism or whatever. Mostly sunny, highs near 50 tonight. Fog and stuff developing, lows in the 30s. And then mostly sunny tomorrow again, highs in the 50s. Another fine day for cannibalism. Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom. Live around the world at KOTK.com, made possible by Budget Computers, home of the $200 laptop.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll-free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, in just a moment we're going to talk about the top five musical artists who have never won a Grammy. We'll get to that in this moment. Chris, Mailman, in just one second. Let's talk to our good friend and colleague, Michael Chase, from KWJJ, Mike and Amy in the Morning. What's up?
Hello, Rick. How are you?
How you doing?
Good. I'm enjoying your program as always. I'm filling out some bills, and you were talking about the Blockbuster deal.
Yes.
Here's another reason. I can't talk about this on my own radio program because of the man. But in my guise as a caller, I can certainly say this. Blockbuster charged you, like, what, $1.99 for 5 days on a movie rental?
Right.
And then if you're late after that 5 days, they charge you $1.99 per day after that. Like, you know, because you initially paid $1.99 for 5 days. Now you're paying $1.99 per day in late fees.
Which seems illogical.
Well, it's a profit deal, apparently. They're making all kinds of dough on this. But Hollywood does not do that. Hollywood charges you only for the next 5 day cycle.
Well, you know, the thing about Blockbuster also is somebody had created this technology where you could rent a disposable DVD. And the deal is you would rent the DVD. It was good for I don't know how it did it, but it was either good for like five plays or the coding just sort of flaked away and it was good for like 72 hours and then he would just throw the DVD away.
What?
And this is true. I was read this on CNET and Blockbuster wouldn't accept the technology. They wouldn't do it because a full 40% of Blockbuster's earnings, and I'm thinking it's more, comes from late fees.
Right. I think I've read some yesterday. It was like $80 million a year.
Yeah, they just bug me. And it's just the blandest, least interesting selection of movies you've ever seen in your life. Ooh, look, Con Air or Navy SEALs.
And they have, you know, like 30 copies of Con Air and no copies of anything good.
Sure. Yeah, I've come to look for something good. Okay, that's going to be that one tiny little kiosk.
Do you have Bottle Rocket? Yeah. No, I'm sorry. We got Con Air.
And we have that, and we have the best of TRL volumes 1 through 75. It's crap. It's all crap, man.
Okay.
All right, there you go. There's Mike Chase, Mike and Amy in the Morning, and KWJJ, a fine radio show in its own right. Let's quickly get Mailman Chris in Southeast Portland. What's up with you?
Hey, not too much. Hey, I was gonna touch on a couple things here real quick. Blockbuster, actually, Mike's wrong. They do it by the cycle now.
Okay.
They
got compete with Hollywood. All right.
So, and where would you suggest renting if you don't like Blockbuster?
Go to Movie Madness. Mike Clark's Movie Madness, which is at 39th, I think, or not 39th, but like
43rd
in Belmont.
Okay.
Mike Clark's Movie Madness, it is, if you can't go there, try to go to Clinton Street Video as a backup. But Movie Madness, I'm telling you, man, and I don't get paid to say this. This isn't a plug. They don't ask for this plug. I'm just saying it. Once you go to Movie Madness, you will never go back. You will wonder how you ever rented movies anywhere else. And it's an independent, locally owned, local money, local business, and it's a great, great place. And they have everything. They have everything you could ever possibly, out of print, obscure, cult films. They got everything you could imagine there.
You sound like Randall going to Big Top Video.
Big Choice is complete. But I work at a crappy video store. I want to go to Big Choice so I can get a good video. Completely.
And then the other, MTV, we watched last night, I guess it was the first episode of like the new Real World Road Rules.
Ugh.
Battle of the Sexes.
Yeah.
But it was kind of funny because Puck gave himself a mullet.
Puck.
Remember Puck?
He's still doing that?
Do you want to see that guy drawn and quartered or what?
Oh, come on. He's the best thing that happened to MTV since Jesse.
Yeah. He needs to find something else to do, though.
But without Pedro around, it's like there's just nothing. It was the Puck-Pedro dichotomy. But
there was
Pedro...
a good fight last night between him and David from the first season of Real World.
Now, since Pedro assumed room temperature, it's just not the it's not good anymore.
And Rick, you mentioned DJ Jazzy Jeff beating out Public Enemy.
Public Enemy.
Which was the bigger upset, though? The first rap award going to DJ Jazzy Jeff, or the first metal award going to
Jethro Tull? I know. Over and Justice for All by Metallica. It's not a world of men, Chris. And that's a good segue. Way to handle the segue. See how Chris gave me, he handed me the segue into this, your top five.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
He's a pro. I don't even need to be here. Chris and y'all can just do the show.
Counting is wonderful. Counting is marvelous.
Yeah, in 1989, for the best metal album. You know, there were a lot of Blow Up Your Radio from AC/DC and a Motorhead album, 1916, I think it is. And then Metallica's And Justice for All, which by any standard is a great metal album. No, Jethro Tull. Their main instrument is a flute, if you're not familiar with Jethro Tull. The main instrument in Jethro Tull's music is a flute. Not making that up. A flute album beat out Metallica for Best Metal Award. Jesus God. Here's Tim Riley.
And in honor of Avril Lavigne's ignorance of who David Bowie is, we take this moment to celebrate the ignorance of the Grammys themselves. These are the top five musical artists who have never, ever won a Grammy.
So if you want absolute proof that the Grammy people are out of touch, here is the definitive reason why the Grammy people should never be trusted for judging what quality music is.
Honorable mentions, The Who, Neil Young, Kiss, Elvis Costello, and AC/DC.
I mean... How is it that Elvis Costello, The Who? I'm not a big Who fan, but they're The Who. Pete Townsend created the rock opera. Tommy, Quadrophenia, Baba O'Reilly. Elvis Costello, Neil Young. He performed Harvest. He gave us Tonight's the Night, The Needle and the Damage Done, Ragged Glory, and AC/DC. Say what you want about him, but they're hands down the best hard rock band ever. How could you not give AC/DC something? Unless this happened last year, these are all, this is my knowledge, you know, of this. Is, it's like based on like 2001. Unless I blinked and they gave somebody a Grammy. I don't think they did, but this is all as of like a year ago. I know that they hadn't given any of these guys a Grammy. How can you not give Neil Young a Grammy?
That's messed up.
Jesus.
Number five, Creedence Clearwater Revival.
John Fogerty, who is, in my opinion, just, I'm saying for me now, the greatest singer-songwriter that American pop music ever produced. I'm just saying for me. Dylan's probably a better songwriter in some ways, but I'm saying singer-songwriter-performer, John Fogerty. Do I even need to list it off? I mean, Down on the Corner, Proud Mary, Who Will Stop the Rain? You know, Have You Ever Seen the Rain? Fortunate Son, Run Through the Jungle, Susie Q. I mean, it's Creedence Clearwater Revival. What are you going to do? The fact that he never won a Grammy for anything with Creedence Clearwater Revival is, it's beyond a crime. It's a sin. It's a sin against all things musical and soulful.
I think I'm going to boycott the Grammys.
The Grammys suck. The Grammys, people don't know what the hell they're talking about. It's like last year when they, or 2 years ago, they gave the freaking Steely Dan beat out Eminem for Album of the Year. Please. An album, Steely Dan. Like, we all sit around and listen to Steely Dan.
Number four, the Beach Boys.
Again, do I need to give you the list? I didn't even need to give you the list of Beach Boys songs, because you know them all. Surfing Safari, Surfing USA, Little Honda, Barbara Ann, I Get Around. Jesus, what else? Good Vibrations, Wouldn't It Be Nice? God Only Knows, Caroline No.
I can't believe this.
Especially, I mean, he created Pet Sounds, which is what everybody always points to, but all of his earlier pop songs. Good Vibrations, which was a record-breaking, I mean, a groundbreaking piece of music. The fact that Brian Wilson never won a Grammy for the Beach Boys, that's proof enough right there that the Grammys are screwed. Ugh. And going back to Kiss for a moment, whatever everybody thinks about Kiss, they're a definitive American rock band. They're one of the definitive American rock acts. But the fact that the Beach Boys never won a Grammy, it makes you want to throw up your hands at this fading republic we all live in.
Number three, Jimi Hendrix.
Jimi Hendrix created 90% of what modern guitar players do, rock guitar players anyway. The little bit that they haven't subsequently stolen from Eddie Van Halen and Tom Morello, they stole from Jimi Hendrix. Jimi Hendrix, by any definition, is the father of the modern rock guitar sound. I mean, there are other people who did Feedback, there were other people who did Distortion, among them the Ventures and the Kinks, but Jimi Hendrix created this whole sound. I mean, he played this guitar from Mars. He brought all of that Feedback, Distortion, Fuzz, all of that weird guitar playing into the modern era. I mean, I'm not even a big Hendrix fan, but even I know that he created whole sections of rock guitar style, yet never won a Grammy. No, no, no. No, we're too busy giving Grammys to the Starland Vocal Band. No, 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 here you go. No, Milli Vanilli, here you got it. Hey, Jewel, here you go.
Yes. Led Zeppelin is number two.
Led Zeppelin, which is, in the opinion of this journalist, only the greatest rock band in the history of all creation. Again, even if you're not a Led Zeppelin fan, you've got to acknowledge they were huge. They were giant, influential, groundbreaking. The band that gave us Stairway to Heaven, the band that gave us Black Dog, When the Levee Breaks, Whole Lot of Love. Even this, which is, musically speaking, one of their lesser compositions, but I mean, it's just stolen from Good Golly Miss Molly, but what a great song. And you want to talk about influence. I mean, Led Zeppelin's one of the most influential bands of the last 30 years, period. Not the most influential, probably one of them.
I really wish you wouldn't have done this.
I'm really mad.
Well,
good, you're supposed to be angry. Well, that's what I was saying. You know, it's not everybody here is a big Public Enemy fan, but there's the notion that Fear of a Black Planet lost out to the Fresh Prince for a rap album. It's just... Yeah, people are always surprised when I tell them this. I go, yeah, you Beach Boys never won a Grammy. AC/DC never won a Grammy. Kiss. John Fogerty. Led Zeppelin never won a Grammy. Just disgusting. Fills me with angst. All right, but here's the biggest one. So this is Zeppelin. Here's number one.
Number one is Chuck Berry.
The man who created rock and roll. Say what you want about Rocket 88 and about Ike Turner and about Bill Haley. I'm saying for me, and in the opinion of, I think, most people, it is Chuck Berry who really is the father of rock. Deep down in Louisiana. we wouldn't have had any of these other bands we just played without Chuck Berry. And I think that's a fair statement. And again, not to diminish Ike Turner, and not to diminish Johnny Ace and all those guys. But without Chuck Berry, there's no Stones, there's no Beatles, there's no Beach Boys, there's no Led Zeppelin. I mean, you know that Johnny B. Goode was sent into space with one of the little probes we sent out? They sent out a probe, and it had greetings from Earth. This is true. The side of one of our probes, they had a little time capsule, or, you know, whatever, a capsule from Earth to anybody who might find the probe in space. And it had hello in, like, 50 different languages. And it had, you know, it had pictures of man and pictures of woman. And it had some mathematical equations. And I swear to God, this is true. On the side of one of our space probes, we enclosed a needle, a stylus, and a gold-plated record of Johnny B. Goode that could be played. When we sent a probe out into space, we included the music of Chuck Berry to any other creatures that might find it. I mean, even if you're not a big Chuck Berry fan, it all comes from this. This is the Wellstone. Listen to this. I mean, the fact that the Grammys were too busy giving awards to Milli Vanilli to ever honor Chuck Berry just fills me with bile and hatred. That still sounds great. And that's almost 60 years old. Come on, I can't take it. Chuck Berry. He's Chuck Berry. Screw you. He's Chuck Berry. I mean, what did it... So the next time the Grammys start flapping their gums about blah, 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 the integrity of artists in rock and roll, and here's the album of the year, just remember that they've overlooked all of these artists so far. All right, Jolie from the front desk and a few later on. Bessie, don't go anywhere. It's a Rick Emerson Show.
David Bowie.
Rick Emerson. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right. Here's Sarah Dylan with the track.
Dylan. Well, this wonderful...
Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. In just a moment, we have a Jolie from the front desk at House Chicks Think. Later on, Betsy. Oh, here's some other people never won a Grammy. Ramones, Sex Pistols. Just saying. All right. The hell am I doing here? No one knows. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Let's talk to Rick in Southwest Portland. What's up?
Hey, Rick. Hey. Give me a monster favor, would you please?
Yes.
I got this anxiety attack going on, and it's all about this Christina Aguilera song.
Which Christina Aguilera song? Is it the...
Yeah.
Is it the...
It's that one.
Oh, it's not this song, is it?
Oh, please don't.
Are you talking about this song here?
Yeah, that one.
It's all right. You're sure? Now, this is the song you're talking about.
Rick, I'm going to crawl through the phone and kill you now.
Okay. Well, all right, then. I'll just be watching for you. All right, there's Rick. It's Jolie from the front desk. What's up with you?
I agree with Rick.
You're doing a great job so far, by the way. You're filling in for Sarah, who in turn is filling in for Matt. You're doing a splendiferous job over there. All right, where's my question? Now, this one's anonymous, by the way. This comes to us from Anonymous.
Oh,
and he simply says,
must be bad.
Rick, for you, will you please ask Jolie from the front desk for How Chicks Think the following question, which no woman will give me a, so to speak, straight answer on. And then it's just three little words here. Does size matter? And then he said anonymous. He won't even put his name to it. Anonymous there.
Anonymous.
Does size matter? I'm not even weighing in. I don't... Because I same thing, but I get the feeling, you know, it's so hard to get the straight dope on that from a, you know, from a woman, so.
Well, I'll give you what I think my straight dope is. I know you're all going to say, yeah, it matters.
Is that you saying that?
Well... Yeah, but I have.
I was unclear there. Is that yes or no?
No, it does matter but there's a little something to go with it, because it's partly true. Because yes, you know, you got to have something there.
Well, clearly you can't just be a Ken doll with a plastic plastic mound between your legs. I mean, you've got to have genitals. I mean, clearly you have to have a penis.
Okay, but all right. So here's the deal. If it's long,
let's stop here. I believe that not because it's no. I'm just saying not.
I can't believe you just said that, Jolie.
I'm just saying. We got to make sure that we speak clinically and medically about this now.
Okay.
So you're saying, and we're saying this.
Help me out here, Rick.
We're acting in the community interest, convenience, and necessity here.
Could she compare it to vegetables?
No. We're talking. I'm just saying we're speaking journalistically now. This is actual medical knowledge. This is knowledge about human sexuality and human relations. So you are saying, medically speaking, when it comes to the male member, you're saying is it its length or is girth more important?
Girth is more important.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I agree.
Okay, but you're going to hear a lot of women say also that that it's quality, not quantity.
Well, it's not the size of your pencil that's how you write your name.
Exactly. Okay. I like the way you put that.
Well, I'm just saying.
Yeah, but you know, you can also have a very lengthy
personality.
However, if you don't know how to use it, then it's really no good.
So if you've just got a great 12-inch personality, but you just have no idea how to, then it's just probably irritating.
I'd pass.
So you're saying for you, as a general rule, if you had to pick one or the other, though,
right.
If you had to pick big personality, little talent, or little personality, big talent.
Oh, big talent, yeah.
There you go. Okay, so there's a relatively straight answer. All right. There you go. There's your How Chicks Think for Wednesday on the Rick and Morty. Yeah, that was going to be a whole thing. I thought that was going to turn into a whole giant tar pit.
I thought so, too, but it's really not that bad.
I got it.
Unless you get some callers, you know.
But I think that's pretty much... I mean, I think ideally you want the best of both worlds, but you're saying it's all about the acumen,
right?
The talent.
Yeah, but I've heard stories about, not so lengthy.
Not so lengthy stories.
Yeah, not so lengthy.
I have a long and pulsating story for you. Okay, there you go. There's Jolie from the front desk. All right. I have a long, throbbing, glistening story I'd like to share with you,
Rick. Oh.
Yes?
That was...
No, I'm just saying. Oh, wait, here's a good chance. Okay, do I have time to do the Israeli-Arab porn?
You have a minute. Go.
No, because I don't have time to get into it. Okay, I will simply say this. We're going to be back in a few. We got Betsy is going to be coming up. More from Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom. We'll get to the Arab-Israeli porn story today. I swear to you, we'll get to it today. I have something else to say. I've lost it now. Anyway, it's 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-TONETTY. You can also email us at rick@rickemerson.com. We want to thank Denise at Redhead Web Design, who maintains rickemerson.com. She does business websites for as little as $400, personal websites for even less. So get in touch with her, Redhead Web Design. There's a link on the bottom of rickemerson.com. We'll be back. Here's the loaf who is meat. Stay there.
Live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.